Welcome back to our summer series we're calling Sent. Today is lesson 5. Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father, we pray this morning as we come to this lesson that you will just give us attentive ears, attentive hearts. God, I pray that we're just hungry to know more about you, more about your ways, more about the way you work. And I pray this morning that this lesson will just expand our minds, will answer many questions. I pray that light bulbs will come on, we'll see things that we've never seen before out of your word. I pray that you'll speak very personally to us. I pray, Father, that you'll make us to be women who are living our lives as sent women of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been talking about how wonderful it is to be saved. And I told you it's my very favorite thing. I've been saved now for a long time. I came to Christ as a very young bride. And I've grown. When I first started out, I didn't know anything about anything. And it was overwhelming at times. And then I gradually got in God's word and I began to grow. But salvation is such a beautiful and wonderful thing. But here's the thing. What were we saved for? And the truth is, we were saved in order to be sent. And we're using that word sent. God sends us out after we're saved, and that is to be our mission. And so this morning we're going to discuss the main ingredient, the key thing needed if you want to be a woman who's living a sent life. This ingredient is absolutely essential. It's not optional. It's the key if we're going to go into our worlds and if we're going to make an impact with the gospel message. Without it, we'll surely fall flat on our faces. What is this practical thing? This thing I'm talking about really isn't a thing. What is key is a person. And so write it down. It's the person of the Holy Spirit that is absolutely the key ingredient if we're going to live lives that count for the kingdom of God. Now look at me. What's the key ingredient? You tell me. Say it loud. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. And apart from the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to do anything. Now, I want you to get that in your mind. I want to start with Acts 1:8. Look what Jesus told his disciples. He said, you, and this is before he ascended into heaven, he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. There it is. What's the key ingredient for power? The Holy Spirit. Say it. The Holy Spirit. This is interactive here. I'm trying to wake y'all up. You're going to get power. Notice, go back to the verse. And what happens after you get that power? You will be my witnesses. You want to be a witness for Christ? Look at me. You want to be a witness for Christ? You're going to have the Holy Spirit in you. You're going to have to rely on who's in you. It's His power working in you. You see, the disciples were on the very verge of embarking on this incredible adventure. They're on the very front end of the church. You and I are living, look, at the very tail end of the church. Such different points on the spectrum. They're at the beginning, we're at the very end. And they're about to be sent ones. They're going to go into the world and they're going to establish the church. But there's something that is really, I had never thought about before. that I want to point out to you. And I want you to write it down. The very first charge that Jesus gave to his disciples. You would think they would be so zealous and everything, but no, no, no. He says, I don't want you to launch out, not to launch out. That's not what he told them. He didn't say, go right now, get with it, go after it. No, you know what he told them to do right at first? He told them to wait. He told them to wait. So he was resurrected from the dead. Now get with me. And for a period of 40 days before he ascended into heaven, he was with his disciples and he was teaching them, telling them many things. Acts 1 tells us that during that time he was speaking to them things concerning the kingdom of God. He was giving them their last instructions. And then it was time for him to go back to his Father. He gathered them all together. Look at verse 4 there, Acts 1. This is what he said to them. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. Which, he said, you heard of from me, for John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with who? The Holy Spirit, not many days from now. You see, he didn't send them out at first. He said, no, no, you got to wait. You got to wait for something. You got to wait for power. And that power is going to come when the Holy Spirit comes. Now, what did... I think it's interesting to notice. He didn't say, now wait until you're trained. He didn't say, now wait until the circumstances get just right. Let everything sort of develop. No, no, you're to wait for the person of the Holy Spirit. And so don't launch out yet because you're not ready. You don't have the direction, the wisdom, the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, Teresa, this is lesson 5, by the way. I'm so slow. Lesson 5, I mean, isn't it just enough? I mean, I've learned those core principles. Do you remember what they were? 3 of them? That God is at work all around us. That God uses people to accomplish his work. God is always inviting us to join him. I mean, isn't it enough that I know in my mind that the gospel is really good news? Isn't it enough that I believe really and truly in my heart that apart from the gospel, the whole world is doomed? Why do I need to wait? And there's a very important truth found in John 15:5. Look at it on your handout. It's because Jesus said, now watch, apart from me, you can do nothing. We have got to have the Spirit of Christ living in us, because apart from him, we could do nothing. We need the Holy Spirit. Let's write a few things down. Number one, the Holy Spirit indwells every person who's received Christ into their life. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit sealed the deal. He came in and he indwelt you. He's never going to leave. I love to think about this. Sometimes I just think you're there. You're there. You're in me. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Here's something else to write down. He's the very foundation of living a sent life. That's why the disciples had to wait. They were waiting for him to come. He came on the day of Pentecost in the most amazing way. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and the church was born that day, and the world has never been the same since that day. See, the Christian life isn't about what you do. It's about what the Spirit of God does in and through you. So a sent life is one that is a Spirit-filled life. It's a life that goes out sharing the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's really such a mystery. It's a mystery. I don't get it. I don't really know how that works, but it's so cool. Look at Romans 12:1. Paul is begging them. Now look, guys, I want you to present your bodies to be a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice. It's acceptable to God, which is just your spiritual service of worship. Present your heart. Present your body. Present your mind to Him. But it is Christ that's working in us. And so, He gets all the glory when good things happen. And it's just so much fun working together with God. Here's another thing to write down. The Holy Spirit directs us to places and people who need to know Jesus. No need to worry. The Spirit of God in you, He'll take you right where He wants you to go. Isn't that cool? Just read about it all in the books of Acts. All in the book of Acts. How God just took the disciples. He took them exactly where He wanted them to go. Here's something else. You need wisdom. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit will give us wisdom. So write that down. Well, Teresa, I'm going out. How am I ever going to get my message across? Well, let me just tell you this fact that you need to write down. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing the work, convicting the listener. You see, you're sharing the message, but it doesn't have to do with your power. The Holy Spirit is moving. He's working. He's taking your message. He's convicting the listener of their need for salvation. And look at John 16:8. You'll see it there. And He, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin, concerning righteousness and judgment. I didn't always understand the Holy Spirit. I think a lot has come to light just in my lifetime about the Holy Spirit. I remember right after I was born again, I just decided I was going to be a great Christian, and I tried so hard to be a good Christian in my own strength. It just wasn't working that well. I mean, some days I'd do good, some days I wouldn't. But I had this nagging gut feeling, I just can't do it good enough. And I was just trying to gut out the Christian life. Listen, I just want to say the Christian life, it's not only difficult, it's absolutely impossible. That's right. You cannot live it. Apart from who? The Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit in you that helps you. It's through the Spirit that you live the Christian life. The truth is, the one who saved us, Jesus, He lives in us in His Holy Spirit, and I no longer live. He lives in me. And the very essence of the Christian life isn't what you do for God, it's what the Holy Spirit does in and through you. He's the key. He's the secret ingredient. And that way, all glory goes to Him, and you're left just to be filled with awe and wonder and joy at all what God accomplishes through your life. I'm telling you this morning, that very same Holy Spirit that gave the disciples such remarkable lives is the very same Holy Spirit that's in us. Let that thought just captivate you this morning. Let that truth capture your imagination. Look at Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I'm dead. I no longer live. But here's the deal. Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Do you see what Paul is saying? He says, don't look at me. It's not me anymore. It's Christ living in me. The Holy Spirit's in me. He's living His life out through me. And that is the kind of life that we're called to live. And it's an impressive life. It's a life that wasn't just unique to Paul. Now, I want to show you what he prayed for those at Ephesus. Paul can get so wordy. But look at what he's praying for the guys at Ephesus, at the First Baptist Church of Ephesus. He says what he says. I'm praying that your hearts would be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, that you may know the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. It's that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That very same power is at work in each of us. I wish I had powerful words, but I'm just going to tell you this morning. God is calling us to live supernatural lives. God is calling us to live supernatural lives. Now, I don't have a cape, and I can't fly. But I do have a part in bringing dead people back to life again as his sent ones. Let's write a few things down. What did we receive when we were born again? Well, write it down. Well, first we received forgiveness. How beautiful. Oh, how wonderful. We received redemption. He paid the price. That's what that word is telling us. And then we received eternal life. You and I will never die. But here's the thing that I want you to put a star by, and it's this. We received the indwelling power of the Spirit of God. Let's go later on in the book of Ephesians. Let me show you something else that Paul prayed for those at First Baptist Church, Ephesus. Verse 16, he prayed this, I'm praying that out of God's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power, notice, through his Spirit in your inner being. What a wonderful thing to pray. Verse 20 and 21, he prays this, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Nobody prays it better than Paul. In fact, he actually gives Christians this command in Ephesians 5:18. Look at it on your handout. He says, now look, you guys there at First Baptist Church, Ephesus, I don't want you getting drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. But instead, I want you to be filled with the Spirit. Now, think about someone that's drunk. They're controlled by the wine. They're just under the influence. They can't help themselves. Don't be like that, he said, but here's another picture. Be under the influence. Be controlled by, instead, the Holy Spirit. Now, I want us to look at that word filled a minute. It doesn't mean I want you to get more of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you got the Holy Spirit, look at me. He was a person. You didn't get just a toe, and you didn't get just a hand. You got the whole person. So he's not saying, now, I want you to get the arm, and then I want you to get the leg. He's not saying that. You have every bit of the Holy Spirit. But here's what he's saying. I want you to be under the influence of him. I want you to be completely controlled by him. And the Greek tense of the word here means this. It means to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a day-by-day thing. Yeah, you got him when you were saved. But you're going to have to daily be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time experience. It's a daily, moment-by-moment thing. So, as Christian women, two options for us. And we're just learning doctrine here. We're just understanding some things. And here's what the deal is. Either I'm going to be walking by the Spirit of God, and I'm going to be producing the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Why, you can tell a person that's full of the Holy Spirit. All of that just comes out of her life. It's because he's filling her. He's influencing her. So either you'll walk by the Spirit, produce the Spirit's fruit, or you'll walk by your flesh. Yes, that's possible as a Christian. You can be a Christian and just walk by your flesh all day long. But I want to tell you something. Everything your life produces will be wood, hay, and stubble, and it will all burn up at the judgment seat of Christ. You won't lose your salvation, but look what you lose by not being under the influence of the Spirit. Now, if you study Ephesians carefully, and I don't have time to go into this chapter, where he says, be filled with the Spirit. And then he goes on in the next two chapters to tell you what the results of a Spirit-filled life are. Let me just mention a few of the things he talks about. Joyful hearts. You interested in that? Sweet fellowship with other people. A thankful heart. Beautiful humility. Being subject to one another. Husbands are going to love their wives. Wives are going to submit and love their husbands. Marriages that look like Christ's love for the church are going to happen. Heavenly marriages. Children who honor and obey their parents. Things are going to go well for them. Excellent work done in the workplace. Teresa, what exactly does it look like for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit and have this kind of life? I mean, my mouth is watering. This is what I want. And I think the Bible gives us some really cool insight. Yes, I'm going to ask the Spirit to fill me. But there's something else I want to show you. Because if you go to Colossians, you have an almost identical passage of Scripture that you find right here in Ephesians. And you find all of those same results, the very same wonderful results, but there in Colossians, instead of this command, be filled with the Spirit, he gives a different command. And here it is. He says this, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Do you see what I'm trying to show you? Being filled with the Spirit is the very same thing as letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. They're equal. I can say it this way, be filled with the Spirit. Or I can say it this way, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Well, Teresa, how do I get the Spirit to fill me? Let the anointed, living Word of God fill your heart. And you will find that you are full of the Spirit of God. I find it to be true in my own life. As I'm saturated in the Word of God, I just find I walk by the Spirit. I'm controlled by the Spirit. I discover I have power. Being in the Word of God is so important to living a sent life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a mud hole that we can fall in that will short circuit the Spirit of God in our lives. Look at it with me in Galatians 3:3. He says there, are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? And this mud hole that Paul is talking about here is self-effort. So write that down. I'm just telling you, ladies, you cannot live the Christian life. You can't produce joy in your heart. You cannot produce peace in your heart. You can't fill your heart with love for other people. These are supernatural things that only the Spirit of God can do in you. And trying to live the Christian life in our own effort, trying to live the Christian life on my own, I'm going to fall flat. I'm going to produce wood, hay, stubble. We must understand the Christian life is a supernatural life. We reach out by faith. We trust God. We depend on Him. We yield to Him. We get in His powerful Word. We watch Him work in supernatural and wonderful ways, and that's the very reason that they had to wait before they launched out with their sent lives, because they desperately needed the Holy Spirit, and so do we. I hope you're getting it this morning. I can't hear this truth enough. The Spirit-filled life calls us to move from an interdependence to a total dependence on God. I'm moving from me taking control to me yielding my whole life to God. My role is to abide in Him, yield in Him, drink deeply of His living water, come back to His Word day after day, month after month, year after year, pant after it like a deer pants for the river brook. Now, some other things to mention that might hinder the filling of the Holy Spirit, I just want you to make a note of it, is unconfessed sin. You don't have to go into this mode where you just get all introspective. You know what? The Holy Spirit, He's very capable of putting His finger on anything in your life that's out of order. He'll say, You don't have to say, oh, I'm such a horrible sinner, I don't know what I'm doing, but I mean, I'm just awful, I'm horrible, I'm a worm. No. He's like a referee. You're in the game of life, and as long as you are playing, but if the whistle gets blown on you, you have fouled, and guess what you have to do? You have to pay the penalty, you know? So as long as you've got the green light, don't worry about it. Don't beat yourself up. He'll put His finger, and then you just 1 John 1:9 it. You just confess it. He's faithful to cleanse you from all your sin. It's just that easy. This is the way of life for those who are filled with the Spirit of God. This is how life is supposed to be for us. We're in the Word. We're saturated in the Word. We're filled with the Spirit of God. We're sent out. And as we go, oh my goodness, we've got the joy down in our hearts. That's how the Christian life is supposed to be. And when we do that, our lives become a powerful advertisement for the Lord. And as we go into our worlds and we take with us the gospel message, this is what the world needs to see. To see Jesus, the real Jesus, living His life through us. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do in Scripture? There are a few roles that I want you to jot down. I'm not going to read the Scriptures. I'm giving you the references. Here's your homework. Go back and look them up next week. Here's the first thing He'll do. He gives us courage and boldness to act and speak when we are afraid. Number two, He compels us to action, to go to certain places, to speak to various people. Number three, He leads us where He wants us to go. You don't have to worry about it. He's going to lead you. Number four, the Holy Spirit speaks through us. He gives us the words to say. Isn't that cool? Number five, the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and understanding. Number six, the Holy Spirit convicts people of their sin. Number seven, the Holy Spirit produces new life in people as they come to Jesus. Here's what we need the Holy Spirit for. Let me give it to you in a nutshell. Courage, boldness, direction, the words to say, wisdom and understanding, conviction of sin, and new birth. Just imagine what your life would look like if you had a heart that was set out to be more and more under the influence, under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. Do you ever talk to the Holy Spirit? I do. Oh, Holy Spirit, our world is so dark. Oh, Holy Spirit, fill us. Cause your church to rise up I hate status quo. I hate lukewarmness, Holy Spirit. May we be filled with your power. May the world find us fully under your influence, controlled by you. And so those disciples were waiting, and while they did, they weren't just staring at the wall. They were doing something that was really the most important work. You know what they were doing while they waited? They were praying. What do people like us, people who are yearning to live a sent life, to pray for? Let's look at some biblical models of prayer for people who don't yet know Jesus, or for those who are just at the very beginning of their spiritual journey. Think about those five people we wrote down on that card in our very first lesson of this series. Five people that we're praying for. Think of your lost family members. Think of your neighbors. Think of people who you just, you know, see in your natural pathways of life. Before you ever share, you need to pray. Pray by name for these people. Pray and wait and see how God is working. But what do we pray for? I'm going to give you some ways real quick. Let me check my time. We're doing good. These are excellent. You need to put these things in your prayer journal. Ways to pray for those who don't know Jesus. These are biblical ways to pray. Number one, ask God to send a spirit of wisdom and revelation to that person. I get that from Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him. I'm praying for this person. God, give them revelation. Open their eyes. Look at the very next phrase. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Oh Lord, would you open their eyes in order that they may know the hope to which you're calling them, the riches of your glorious inheritance. You've got to understand, ladies, it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the drawing in other people. And I'm praying, Holy Spirit, do your work in the life of that person. I'm praying that they'll experience and they'll feel the drawing of the Lord pulling them, tugging their hearts, opening their eyes. Think of the people in your world. Lord, would you just open their eyes? And by the way, are you prepared to persevere in praying? It may take years. Have you got people you've been praying for years? Here's the second thing to pray for. Ask God to turn their eyes away from worthless things. Oh, I love this one. Look at Psalm 119:37. And there the psalmist says, Lord, turn my eyes away from worthless things. This is so good to pray for ourselves as well as praying for others in our lives who are walking in darkness, who are walking in the slippery paths of sin. Pray it for those in your world who are seeking spiritual truth in other areas. They're going the wrong direction. They're into all kinds of different things. And then I love this one. This may be something you've never seen in Scripture. Pray that they may come to their senses. I'm pulling this from 2 Timothy 2. This is such good instruction. If you haven't heard anything else, hear this. Here's instruction for the Lord's bondservant. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all. Able to teach, patient when wronged, gentle with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. And then this is the part I want you to see. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. A few takeaways from these verses. Number one, Paul advises gentle instruction as we engage others in the gospel. Number two, it's God who grants repentance that leads to the truth. Did you know you didn't turn on your own to God? That was something God did. He granted you repentance, and you turned to him. You turned to the truth. And number three, bringing others to their right mind and providing escape from the trap of the devil is all the work of God. You know what these verses do for me? They cause me to have compassion for others who are going the wrong way. Because you know the truth of the matter is, they're in the trap of the devil. They're ensnared. We all know people. And there they are. They're ensnared in a trap by the devil. And I'm just saying, God, help them to come to their senses. Grant repentance that they'll turn to the truth. And number four, we see here that the devil takes people captive to do his will. Oh, dear sisters, this is such a mighty revelation of how to pray for others in our world who need Jesus. Pray this for those around you. Have compassion on them. I remember when I was in the devil's camp. I remember when I was ensnared. I remember when I walked in darkness. And I also remember when God granted me repentance and I turned to him. It was amazing. I'm never going to get over it. God, do that for others. It breaks my heart for all the people we love who are ensnared. Oh, God, bring them to the truth. You see how my prayers are so powerful? This is just a biblical, powerful way to pray. Do you ever wonder why people act the way they do? And why they just don't come to Christ? What? It's so clear. Why don't you see it? But what we're learning this morning is this. What's the key ingredient? Who? Holy Spirit. Who's the only one that can do what we want done? The Holy Spirit. Our part is to pray, to share, and to wait on God and never give up. Are there people in your life that you might pray for who need to turn their eyes from worthless things? Are there people who are ensnared by the devil? Begin praying right now. Pray scripture, girls. Get in 2 Timothy right here. Get in Psalm 119. Here's the third thing. I've got to hurry. Ask God to send others to help. Now look at Matthew 9:38. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. I pray this especially as I think of my grandchildren. They're heading off to college. So many of them. Oh, God, they're leaving Brookhaven. They're leaving their little safety net of wonderful youth group and all of the wonderful fence that's been around them all their teenage lives. And they're stepping out into independence. Oh, God, I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be watching them. I'm not going to know. Their mom's not going to be watching them. Who knows where they're going, what they're doing? God, will you bring people into their lives who know Jesus and who will help continue them in their Christian lives to grow in the Lord? I love how Mark 6:7, Jesus sent out the disciples two by two. So here we are. We're in our worlds. We're sharing our faith. We're being a witness. But we can pray this way too. God, bring someone else into their life. I'm doing all I can in the life of this person. God, bring somebody else to do all that they can. send others to help. Isn't that a great way to pray? Here's number four. Ask God for an open door for the gospel. Colossians 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us, Paul says, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. What encouraging words to the ears of a person who's wanting to live a sent life. I love this call. First he says, you know, devote yourselves to prayer. That's first. And then notice he says, now pray and then be watchful. Be looking for answers to your prayer. Watch where God is working. And then he says, and Lord, just give us an open door. What a cool thing to pray for. Pray that for yourself. God, would you give me an open door and then give me clarity in what I speak into the lives of others. What a wonderful way to pray. There's so much anxiety in this generation. Loneliness, confusion, despair. God, would you just open a door? I hold the answer. I have the treasure right here. Would you help me talk about Jesus in my world, that others might ask me about Jesus, that I'll make them thirsty for Jesus? Wouldn't it be cool if somebody came up to you and said, you know, you just have such a joyful life. What is your secret? What are you taking? And you say, well, the source, it's all found in one person, Jesus. Here's number five. Ask God to give you boldness to overcome your fear. Recently, I had something pointed out to me in Scripture that I think is so amazing. Because in the book of Ephesus, Paul gives them, he says, now I have a personal prayer request. This is something he only does a few times in Scripture. What is it that Paul asked them to pray for him for? Oh, I know what it is. Pray for me. I need a wife. Right? No. Oh, pray for me. I need money. Right? No. Pray for me. I need to be released from prison. Right? No. He only asked for something very astonishing, if you think about it. Look at it. Here's what he prays for. Ask them to pray for. This is Paul's prayer request. Verse 19, chapter 6, I believe. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Oh, I love this prayer. Paul needed courage. He repeats that word fearlessly twice. You know what? He says, I don't want anything but to have powerful words to make Jesus known in my world. Now, that list of five people that you wrote down, that first lesson, wonder which one on that list would take the most courage for you to share the gospel with. Pray for courage. Number six, pray the message of Christ will spread quickly. 2 Thessalonians says that, and I'm rushing through now because we're out of time. That's something we need to pray, that the gospel will go out fast. Number seven, ask God to continue to instruct you when, where, how, and to whom he would like you to communicate the gospel. The psalmist wrote this about God in Psalm 32. God says there, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eyes upon you. I want to read a text. From Ruby Nan this week. She can't be with us, but she listens online And she texts me about, and we text back and forth about my lessons. And, you know, she's pretty much a shut-in right now until she gets better. But this is how long my text is. It goes forever. She said, I listened to lesson 3 yesterday on scent. Remember I told you, if you've got a story, tell me. So she had a story. I just left Jackson, and I've hit a Mack truck. Not literally, but physically. I went and I gave blood for my eye drops. I talked to the pharmacist about using extra eye drops and told her my doctor had doubled my diuretics. And told her about pH and how long I'd lived with it and how blessed I am. I told her I liked her little gold cross necklace, and she said she liked mine too. I had on the crystal one I was given when my mama died. There's a lady sitting there who's been trying to divorce her husband for 8 years. I told her my favorite verse I found when I was going through a divorce. They that wait upon the Lord, from Isaiah. She wasn't really interested. We visited. I called Lewis and I told him I was still waiting after 30 minutes. One of the girls heard me and she called the lab and she told them how long we'd been waiting. Well, come to find out, the lady who usually does it was having a baby. They called me almost immediately then, and we drove downtown to be close to give blood at UMMC, and Lewis held the door open for a lady, and when her husband walked by later, Lewis jokingly told the lady that man was going to pay for our lunch. Only 2 tables were in that section. He asked later for the waitress to give us their bill, and she just walked away. Well, long story short, they bought our lunch. I got up and went out, shook his hand, and I thanked him. I told him Lewis was joking earlier. He said he knew, but it gave him a chance to bless somebody. Well, I told him he really did bless us. I thanked him. I told him my pH story, why we were in Jackson, and that nobody had ever done anything like that for me. He stopped by our table, and Lewis thanked him too. Went to get blood work done at UMMC. Asked the girl who checked me in how I could pray for her. She smiled and she said, pray for peace of mind. Shanika was her name, and I saw these big tears running down her face. I told her I didn't mean to make her cry, and she just shook her head. I told her God loved her and she should lean on him, and then I sat down. And then she goes on to tell me some other places she went before she went home. And she says, I'm thankful for a day when I started the day feeling good and I could sow some seeds today. Just thought I'd share with you. You never know who you're going to meet. But I'm hoping these lessons are helping you to train your mind to be sent. Now, starting next week, we are going to go into a series of lessons that I'm going to call training. Training. Training for a lifetime of a spirit-filled adventure. But the thing about this lesson, and I hate everybody that's missed it, because the very key ingredient to the whole shebang is what? The Holy Spirit. It's not about you trying hard. It's about you being continually filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I've put a prayer on your handout. I'm going to pray this prayer over us. And I wanted you to have it. I want you to take it home. I want you to look at it. I want you to pray it over yourself. Here's how it goes. Lord Jesus, I want to live a sent life. Is that true in your heart this morning? I'm available to you to use me when, where, and how you wish. Would you teach me how to live a life that you commanded and empower me to live? Thank you for the Holy Spirit who is doing the work in me now. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week. Don't forget, Holy Spirit is the key. It's so quiet.